Welcome to Psyched Up, a show that provides both answers and solutions to the most pressing psychological issues and problems in the field of psychology today. Psyched Up, where each new show will feature expert guests tackling the most pertinent problems in the field of mental health, is brought to you by the Suffolk County Psychological Association, which has been serving the public for over 50 years. Psyched Up, psychology at its best. Now, here's your host for today's show.
Welcome back to another edition of Psyched Up. On today's show, we will be discussing perinatal and postnatal mood disorders. These are psychological conditions that affect thousands or hundreds of thousands of women around the world and their families. Here to help us today with the subject is Dr. Helen Myers. Dr. Myers received her PhD from St. John's University in 1981 and a postdoctoral certificate in psychotherapy and psychoanalysis in 1992 from the Dana Institute of Adelphi University. A member of the Postpartum Resource Center of New York and Postpartum Support International, Dr. Myers has amassed more than 50 continuing education credits on the topic. She is president-elect of the Suffolk County Psychological Association after serving on the board in a number of positions for more than 10 years. She is also a member of the New York State Psychological Association and the American Psychological Association. Dr. Myers has presented to SCPA members and to obstetrician-gynecologist residents about perinatal mental health and mood disorders and was a guest on the God Squad show that addressed postpartum depression. Welcome, Dr. Myers, to Psyched Up.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good, and welcome to the show. We're talking today, as I suggested in the introduction, we're talking about perinatal and postpartum mood disorders, and I assume that they are in women, but you're going to talk to that a bit. Can you tell us a little bit about what actually both perinatal and postpartum mood disorders are?
Okay. Perinatal refers to before birth, and postpartum refers to after birth. So perinatal and postpartum mood disorders are a whole variety of mood disorders that occur around pregnancy and childbirth. It is the number one complication related to childbearing, occurring significantly more than things like gestational diabetes, birth defects, and so forth.
Well, you talked a little bit about what perinatal and postpartum mood disorders are, and you said that they were really the number one risk factors. How often, and what is the incidence of these kind of spectrum disorders and types of disorders that you see?
Well, there's actually a variety of disorders. As I said, it can run the whole spectrum of anxiety disorders and depressive disorders, and there's a small incidence of postpartum psychosis, which unfortunately is what people hear about the most in the media. About 10% of pregnancies result in women who, at some point during the pregnancy, generally in the second and third trimester, will experience symptoms of depression and or anxiety. That can intensify sometimes as the pregnancy goes on. Sometimes the pregnancy can be perfectly all right, and it only appears later in those women who are going to suffer from one of these mood disorders.
Okay.
There is, in the first couple of days to the first couple of weeks after a baby is born, 60 to 80% of women will experience what's called the baby blues. Obviously, it's totally normal when that many women experience it. It's very reactive to the hormonal shifts, to sleep deprivation, to the various changes of life that go on. That's evidenced by crying, irritability, anger, sleep disruption, tension, restlessness, and, you know, anxiety, sometimes panic.
Okay.
But again, that's fairly normal.
Normal. Okay.
Within the first 2 weeks. Then there's a normal adjustment period before anything major gets diagnosed further along. That's in the first 2 weeks you know, after the first 2 weeks to the end of the first month, that again show a lot of the same symptoms that I just reported. Mm-hmm. And again, appetite changes, loss of interest in certain things, feelings of doubt and apprehension are very normal. Irritability, crying, fatigue causes an awful lot of this. So feeling overwhelmed is normal. Feeling inadequate is normal. And many, many women experience this, as I said, in the first month postpartum, after giving birth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Dr. Helen Myers here today on Psyched Up. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Lusberg, and as you've heard, we're talking about perinatal and postpartum mood disorders. Who is at risk, and what factors do you see that are associated with these kind of perinatal and postpartum mood disorders?
Well, the worst of the disorders occur after that first month. Lots of people are at risk, up to, depending on the literature, anywhere from 10 to 20% of women experience a diagnosable anxiety or depressive disorder.
Dr. Meyer, I apologize, I didn't mean to cut you off. Would in some way, shape, or form, people who go in, let's say, with a prior mood disorder, or let's say, who have a history of depression or some sort of anxiety, would they be more at risk than, let's say...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, that's right on target. Anyone with a personal history or a family history of depression, anxiety, panic, obsessive compulsive disorder, mania, if there's been significant marital conflict, if there are many changes going on at once. You know, pregnancy is a time when a family changes and roles change. Often people move during that time. Often they stop working either temporarily or permanently. A relationship between a husband and wife changed. There's different expectations of parents, the new grandparents, often who are trying to be helpful and offer support and advice, which sometimes is not so welcome. So there's a lot of interpersonal changes that go on.
What you're suggesting is that not only besides the physical changes that are going on within a woman's body, there's so many external changes that the woman has to deal with, and the two together could perhaps be overwhelming.
Absolutely. Some people consider it a biopsychosocial spectrum of disorders, where there's a hormonal piece, a sleep deprivation piece, a personality piece, past history, if there's a history of abuse, a history of neglect in one's childhood, these people are more at risk. If there's substance abuse, if there's a problem with the baby, if there's a major loss that occurred, if a mother is far away and can't be supportive to her daughter who is having a baby, if there are problems with the in-laws. There's lots of different issues that play a role. Sometimes age plays a role. Both very young mothers and older mothers are more at risk. Women who have an infertility background or an unwanted pregnancy are at risk. So there are many different risk factors, many different stressors that go into the constellation of disorders.
Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Helen Myers today. We're talking about perinatal and postpartum mood disorders on Psyched Up. It's a Suffolk County Psychological Association production. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Myers.
The following is a public service announcement. The Suffolk County Psychological Association, a professional association for psychologists in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. SCPA's mission is to promote the profession of psychology in Suffolk County through fellowship, education, and advocacy. Our members provide a wide variety of psychological services to individuals, couples, and families, including psychotherapy, counseling, and evaluations in their private practices, schools, hospitals, clinics, and universities. Our website has a searchable database to help you find a psychologist near you, one who treats a specific kind of problem, is in your insurance plan, or provides a specific type of treatment. In addition, the Pro Bono Committee has a list of psychologists who have volunteered to treat people without insurance for a reduced or no fee. For more information about SCPA, go to suffolkpsych.org. That's SUFFOLKPSYCH.org.
We're back on Psyched Up. Our guest today is Dr. Helen Myers. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Lustberg, and we've been talking quite interestingly about perinatal and postpartum mood disorders. Before the break, you were talking about risk factors and such, and who's at risk for these disorders. How would you begin to look for some of the signs and symptoms and to make a diagnosis to understand that this is really it? How would one go about that?
If the mood or emotional reactivity persists beyond a month, if there is an unalterable, a persistent sad mood, a lot of guilt and inadequacy, and by the way, Richard, a lot of times these disorders are not recognized because women are embarrassed and mortified to admit that this is not the happiest time of their lives.
Right, pregnancy is supposed to be, oh, well, wow, everybody's making a big deal about you, and
yes,
all of this, and oh, happy, and why am I feeling sad when I'm supposed to be thrilled?
Exactly. So many women will not acknowledge it, to their partners.
I was going to just talk to that. How about men? Do you find that men, in some way, shape, or form, tend to be dismissive, or is there any, obviously not one size fits all, I am a man, and we're all not the same, but I was wondering whether or not you have found that men react to this kind of thing a little bit differently in terms of their understanding of it.
Well, a lot of times they're frightened. If a woman is having thoughts of harming herself or harming the baby, it's critical, and critical that she not be left alone, either with the baby or all by herself, because there is a higher incidence of suicide during the more serious postpartum disorders. And postpartum depression can occur in up to 10 to 20% of mothers. So it's a fairly significant disorder. Postpartum psychosis, thank goodness, is only 1 to 2 out of 1,000.
I think I had that because I had twins, so I was overwhelmed.
I have seen that actually. Interestingly enough, I once saw a father who was having a much stronger reaction than a mother than the mother did, and the father came in for treatment. The mother was doing fine with twins.
Well, I have fraternal twins, and I have to really give great credit to my wife. She really, I did it really much well. At that point, there was a big change in our lives, to say the least, and all of those things. And speaking to both parents, and both young and old, and of course, people who don't have children and expectant, you're absolutely right, it's a big change. When you look at the impact of, because mothers, when I speak to them, they're so concerned about they're depressed, or they look back and they tell you in the history, gee, I had postpartum depression, and a lot of them are very guilty about it, and they feel in some way, shape, or form it's influenced their child and the greater family. What is the impact on families when
it
mothers...
It can be quite profound. It depends on the situation. It's very individual. It depends on how much support there is. A great deal of what goes on with postpartum has to do with, as we've said before, premorbid personality, sleep deprivation, but also support. That's the social piece in the biopsychosocial, that women are often isolated for the first time without a lot of help. They're the ones getting up often with the baby in the middle of the night. So they often become irritable and angry. They're crying a lot. Sometimes they can't care for themselves or the baby. They're frightened of being alone, understandably and realistically. They shouldn't be alone frequently. There are support groups out there. There's telephone support available. And the impact on the family is such that sometimes early bonding with the baby is difficult. There are some mothers who really just turn away from the baby and can't allow the baby to attach for some time. Most of the women I have seen have had no problems bonding with the baby at some point, if not immediately.
And
if they're supportive.
Yes, that's okay. And of course, I'm making the assumption that women, and men too, are so guilty, like I said, years later, they'll give you a history, and they say, and they didn't have that bonding period. But I have found, and I was wondering if you did, and we are talking with Dr. Helen Myers today about perinatal and postpartum mood disorders. If, in fact, here on Psyched Up, I should put that in correct, if, in fact, later on, this can be made up. In other words, nothing is. In other words, if you didn't bond with your baby in the first couple of months.
Bonding is a lifetime process, as far as I'm concerned. I'm sorry to cut.
No, that's what I wanted. I think the audience needs to know that this is not.
Yes,
this is recoverable from, and exactly. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely. Babies are very resilient, and, you know, they don't much care, initially anyway, where. You know, love comes from. If there are loving caretakers around, grandparents, friends, fathers, it's fine. And every mother, as I said, that I have worked with has bonded with their babies. And it sometimes takes time, but it is a lifetime thing. There are plenty of people who did not have mothers with postpartum disorders who, for one reason or another, didn't bond immediately and bonded later on in life, childhood and adulthood. I mean, it's a lifetime process.
Great. I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking to Dr. Helen Myers today about postpartum depression and perinatal depression on Psyched Up. It's a Suffolk County Psychological Association production. And you've talked about the impact on child development and the family system. What would you see as some of the treatments or most effective treatments for these disorders that are out there?
The most effective treatment depends on how serious the disorder is. If a woman is experiencing delusions, if they are having hallucinations, if they are having persistent suicidal thoughts, and thoughts of hurting the baby, they absolutely need to be hospitalized. Medication is often indicated. I would say therapy is always indicated. Support groups exist from the Postpartum Resource Center can help women get involved in support groups, often run through the mother centers or local groups. I often will see not only the mother, but I will see the husband and the parents and any other siblings and caretakers that are involved. Education is critical. Understanding the impact of sleep on functioning is critical. Oftentimes, the mother is not getting enough sleep, and sometimes it's a matter of just giving instructions that someone else has to get up with the baby. And that can help take the edge off for any women. Therapy often takes the form of a more directive approach, as I said, in terms of these kinds of hands-on structuring of one's life, how to deal with the differing needs of the baby, of the household, of the other people in one's life. So frequently, we will talk about things like cleaning schedules, that you don't have to do everything all at once, how to minimize meal preparation, how to focus on oneself, because taking care of the mom allows her to then take care of the baby. A lot of times, there are role and responsibility issues that go on, and oftentimes, it's helpful to have a couple or a family session to discuss changed roles in the household, changed responsibilities, who's going to do what for the baby. Sometimes we focus on more when the father's there that the father's the parent. The father needs to be involved and take responsibility, and it's not only a matter of helping his wife until she gets better, then, you know, bathing and diapering and helping to take care of the house is something that is useful for the whole family. A lot of times dealing with interpersonal issues, I find sometimes very rigid personalities, people who are perfectionists, have a very hard time adapting to the baby controlling your schedule. You know, when you're accustomed to doing things in your own way at your own time, it can be very difficult to all of a sudden have to drop everything to go care for a crying baby.
Right.
Some women get very out of sorts about such thing and feel overwhelmed and inadequate, terribly so.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times therapy then focuses on how to negotiate with the people in her life, how to assert herself to get assistance, how to structure her time. A lot of times there's decisions that need to be made in terms of returning to work, going out on disability, which occurs, which then adds a financial stressor to the family, but is sometimes necessary. Does one go back to work? Does one stay home with the baby?
Well,
some women do better when they go back to work. Others need to be home longer. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I think that what you're touching on is a whole plethora of really fantastic suggestions. And I think that people don't really realize, or maybe they do, the amount of changes that go on, and you've listed so many, even during a normal pregnancy, and that afterwards that there are so many hormones and changes in a woman's body that affect mood. And while even during whatever we might call the best of pregnancies, that women go through tremendous amounts of changes, and then they are recouped there, as you're suggesting and talking to, not only are their bodies recouping, but they're now dealing with a baby and their families and the demands, their husbands, their jobs, money. You've touched on so many. Unfortunately, we're going to have to come to the end of the show, but before we do go, I want to remind the listeners we are talking with Dr. Helen Myers today. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Lusberg, with Psyched Up. Is a production of the Suffolk County Psychological Association. And before you go, is there anything that you'd like to talk to just briefly that perhaps we haven't covered, a piece of advice that you might want to give to families before we wrap today's show up on these issues?
To be patient, number one. To not offer more advice than the mother can handle at any given time. Often she's feeling out of control of too much, and too much advice coming from different directions can be overwhelming and increase the sense of inadequacy. To let her talk, to just listen. It's depending on which disorder and how serious it is, letting her sleep, whether it's during the day while the baby's napping, or have someone watch the baby at night or get up with the baby at night so she can sleep, you know, a solid at least 4 to 6 hours is often useful. Not to expect mom to be entertaining in the early postpartum phases. If someone's going to be coming over, then hopefully that person will be helping, bringing a meal, offering some babysitting time, letting the woman get out and have some alone time, either by herself or with her husband. That can be very valuable for most women to have.
Okay.
Exercise, deep breathing are all things that
are helpful for women.
Absolutely, to deal with all of these changes. And
is there more? Well, we want to thank Dr. Helen Myers for coming on today. It was a pleasure having you on the show all the way around. Dr. Myers, you brought quite a wide breadth of information to this really important topic of postpartum mood disorders and perinatal mood disorders. This is Dr. Richard Lusberg and Dr. Helen Myers. This is a Suffolk County Psychological Association production, and we'll be hopefully looking forward to our next show. If you want to find out more about this show or how to reach Dr. Myers, that will be available on a Suffolk County Psychological Association's website, and we'd like to say goodbye. Dr. Myers, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Suffolk County Psychological Association. Want to hear more? Check your podcast directories, iTunes, or you can go to www.suffolkpsych.org for more information about Psyched Up, the show that provides both answers and solutions to the most pressing psychological issues and problems in the field of psychology today. Thank you for listening.